like to, by the help of the Lord this afternoon, pick up where we left off this morning. We've been called to follow the Lord, and as we leave our nets and follow Jesus, we do not always know where that's going to take us. And there are going to be times in life that we do not understand what God is doing. And during those times, at times it can be a crisis of faith. I know the enemy comes in probably to everyone that has served the Lord for any length of time, and he really challenges your faith in Christ. And he challenges, why are you living this way? Is this even real? Is it worth doing this? Is this even right? Or is this just something in your mind? And you can go through a period that you have a crisis of faith. But when I remember the times that Jesus has called my name, when I remember the things that God has done, when I remember the miracles He's worked, not just that I've read about, but in my own experience, I cannot deny the existence of Jesus Christ. I can't deny that there is a God, and He does have a Son named Jesus that died on the cross, because I experienced that. I experienced a divine work of salvation in my life. But there are going to be times that the Lord is going to call you. Or maybe there's something in the Word of God that it teaches us and we're wanting to follow the Lord, but it's like, Lord, I just don't understand. There is a passage of Scripture in the book of Hosea, chapter 6, in the 3rd verse. It said, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. You know, in relationships with people, there are surface relationships. But to get beyond a surface relationship with someone, you have to get to know them. You have to begin to understand what makes them tick. The things that are important to that person. And as you get to know someone better, do you know there are things that you will start understanding? Oh, now I understand why you did that. Now I understand why you approach things this way, because I got to know them better. The Lord is the same way. As we get to know the Lord better, we're going to understand better the ways of the Lord. And if today, as you follow the Lord, there are things that you just don't understand, be faithful to keep following. Even if you don't understand it. There was someone that got saved. He'd backslid many times in his life. And remember sitting in the car with him after he got saved again. And he said, I'm just going to take it slow this time. He said, I'm just going to kind of do the things that I know, and I'm just going to kind of almost this laissez-faire approach. And I knew right then, this is not going to work. If you're going to follow the Lord, you have to be all in. Are you all in this afternoon? Are you willing, whatever it takes, whether I understand or not, Lord, I'm going to obey You. And I'm going to do what I know is right, even if my flesh and my mind wants to do something different. I can look back in my own life, as you can yours, I trust, and remember times that I did not understand why God was allowing certain things. And there are still some things today I look back on and say, Lord, I don't know why You allowed that to happen. Or I don't understand why this happened that way. And if I would have known that was the outcome, I would have done this. Or what? But do you know the Lord does not always let us know the future for a reason? Because there are things in my life, if I knew the outcomes, I would have tried to avoid them. I would have said, okay, I'm going to do this then, and if I do that, and I know that's the outcome, I'm not going to do that. But the Lord maybe wants me to do that. So that's why the Lord gives us grace for the day, and He doesn't always let us know tomorrow. And when we look in the past and say, I don't understand, it said, then shall you know if you follow on. There are going to be things that you will not understand today, but if you will keep following the Lord, you can have some of those aha moments. You know what I'm talking about? When you look back and you say, I see it now. I'm enough removed from the situation 2 years later or 5 years later. You're like, oh, I see now where God was doing something there in my life that I didn't recognize at the time. Or I recognize that going through that difficult time, it was a blessing to someone else. I remember a time I was laid out on the floor. I was holding a meeting somewhere. And before it was time to preach, I was having a seizure on the floor. You know how that makes me feel? You feel about this big, and it's humiliating, and you're so vulnerable, and I remember later on, there was someone the Lord called to the ministry, and they said, I thought if the Lord can work there, because then I got up and I was able to get up and sit on my stool and preach. And the Lord used that in their life in a way that it made an eternal difference for them. Now, that's not even beginning to talk about what it did in my own life. But there are things that we can go through in life that today we just don't understand. Why does God allow this to happen? Or why didn't God forewarn me that this would happen? Or why didn't... Folks, then shall we know if we follow on. So don't be discouraged and give up following the Lord just because you're confused, maybe. Or just because it seems like the way is dark. Keep your eyes on Jesus and know that one day it's all going to be clear. And if you don't understand it in this life, when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to have a clear vision and say, thank you, Lord, for leading me through that valley. I didn't know that that saved my life. Do you know if life was easy for all of us, a lot of us would not stay saved. There's a few amens there. I'm not on my own there then. If life was too easy, many of us would not be saved. But it is some of the hard things in life that can draw us closer to the cross. It can take us closer. Lord, I want to follow you. I'm desperately in need for you. And the things that you may not understand, it may be your very salvation. So then what will we do? Lord, I will trust in your sovereignty. I will trust that you are going to guide me in the right path. So the prophet said, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. I wonder how many people have lost out not knowing because they fail to keep following the Lord. They never have the privilege of the victory at the end of the valley. They never had the privilege of feeling the peace of God in the middle of suffering. I will not trade it. Going back, I remember another time laying on the floor and when we lived in Edmond. And I still remember I was in the middle of a hallway. My body was jerking. And the Lord brought the song to me in the heated furnace. Father, let me say, precious gold refining, purge the dross away. Lord, if this is what it's going to take, and this will work in my life, then I'm willing to stay in the furnace. Folks, those things that are difficult in your life, you can let them discourage you and cause you to say, well, I'm going to give up. Or you can say, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust in God, and I'm going to get closer to you. I've heard the call of God. He said, follow me. So, Lord, I'm just going to get a little bit closer. In one of these days, it's all going to be clear. So, folks, let's keep our faith strong in the Lord as we follow Him and know that God will not lead you wrong. Now, I've heard a lot of people blame God for things. They said, well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. And it's like, you know what? If you want to paint the walls pink, just paint them pink, but don't say God told you to do it. In other words, there are things that people think if they say, God told me, they can do anything. And how can you argue with God? So it stops the arguing, doesn't it? Well, one person wants to do this, and this one has an opinion, and then someone stands up and said, well, the Lord told me this. How are you going to argue with that one? The Lord said. I've heard a lot of people blame their fleshly opinions and fleshly desires and blame it on God so it takes the burden off of themselves. Folks, we need to take responsibility for ourselves, but when God says it, then do it. And follow Him. He will not lead us wrong. So when the Lord leads you down a path, folks, it will be the right path. And don't be ashamed if you go down a path and you thought it was the Lord to say, you know what? I was wrong. I thought it was the Lord and I made a mistake. Would y'all forgive me? I thought it was right, but it wasn't. Do you know there's no shame in that? But when it's the Lord, it will take us down the right path, even if it's a path of suffering and heartache. And sometimes in those places, Lord, I don't understand. But I know that my Redeemer liveth this afternoon, and if I follow Him closely, He's going to be faithful to me too. Thank the Lord for that. This afternoon, each and every one of us is following after something. Have you ever figured out when you were talking with someone and it didn't take very long to figure out what they're following after? And what did Jesus say where people's heart is? Where's their heart? Where their treasure is? What do people talk about? Their treasure, right? And it doesn't take very long but talking to someone to find out what lights their fire. What lights your fire this afternoon? What excites you? You know, there's nothing wrong with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with talking about work. Don't misunderstand me today. But do you realize that where our heart is, if we're following Jesus and we are all in, it is something that is exciting and invigorating. And it doesn't mean every time I come to service, I'm ready to jump over the pew in front of me. Don't misunderstand, because we're human. But in our souls and in our spirits, Lord, I'm following You. And this is where my heart is. It's where my heart is. Folks, we are following after something. And so I would just encourage us today to examine, what are we following after? Where is our heart today? What is it that you're following after? The Scripture gives us some instruction about what we are, should be following after. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for God for a sweet-smelling savor." So if we're going to follow Jesus today, we've been called, what are we going to follow after? He said, walk in love. Do you know that is the sum total of what it means to follow Jesus? It has to do with where our love is. If you love the world and yet you're trying to follow Jesus, you are not going to find the peace of God that passeth all understanding. If you are trying to do what the Bible teaches, but you love the things of this world, you are not going to find the grace of God working sufficiently in your life. If you are loving the world, but you're trying to follow the Lord, you are not going to find the victory over temptation, because it starts and it ends with love. That's the foundation of this experience following Christ. It's about love. And if it's not love, it means it's a list of rules. And I have also, and I know Brother Tim mentioned some between services, and I have seen people that were so caught up in following a list of rules. See, that's not where it's at. It's in a love relationship with God. But I've also seen people go to the other extreme, especially people that have been in fanaticism, and they were following a list of rules, and they say, okay, we're not following any rules, and I've seen the pendulum swing too far the other side, to the point that they're not even following the Scripture. People say, well, the do's and don'ts, that's Old Testament. Not in the Bible I read. When I read the New Testament, there's a lot of things it tells me to do and a lot of things it says not to do. But the reason we do it is not from a legalistic spirit. It's out of a foundation of love. Lord, I'm going to do this not because, number one, thou shalt, and number two, thou shalt not. But Lord, I'm following You because I chose to follow You and I love to follow You. That's why I give up the things of the world. We can preach about modesty till we're, I wasn't say blue in the face, till we're red in the face. We can preach about modesty, and we can preach about giving up the things of the world, and we can preach on and preach on and preach on it, and we can try to guilt people into measuring up to a standard of holiness, and there should be preaching on it. Don't misunderstand. But the reason we do those things is not to measure to a legal standard. It's because I love the Lord. It's because I'm following the Lord. It's because I love my brothers and sisters. It's because I don't want to open up the door to any more unnecessary temptations, but there's enough of them out there in the world. The Lord wants us to live a holy life, a clean life, being an example of the believers, being an example of those that are following Jesus. And that's the reason we live this way. It's not because we're trying to maintain in and of itself a traditional lifestyle, but it's because of what the Word of God says. And when the Word of God says to be modest, and it says to be decent, means keeping yourself covered, and I find in the Scripture, this gets a little closer now, but I find in the Scripture that nakedness, defined in the Old Testament as well, was that which was above the knee. That starts to tell me something then. People start to talk about dress length and how long and how short, and you know, when I remember Brother Ossus Wilson saying his mother, someone was sewing a dress for her, and she said, I want you to measure it so high off the ground, and she said, well, the seamstress said, well, that's not the fashion, you need to raise that a few inches. She said, no, this is where it is. A couple of years later, the same lady was sewing her another dress. She said, I think her name was Maddie. She said, oh, Maddie, you need to let that dress down. The fashion is down, you know, hugging the ground there, and you need to lower it. She said, no, keep it where it is. In other words, I'm not allowing the dictates of the world and the fashions of the world. That's not what I'm following after. But I want to be sure that I'm covered. I want to be sure that I'm modest. And I want to be sure that I set an example of purity and holiness. That's the reason why we do it, because I love the Lord. You know, that's the reason why a lot of the things people say, well, what do you believe? What is holiness? I found a group of people a number of years ago, my wife and I did, and we had taken care of a funeral, I believe, and so she was asking us what we believed, and she said, we mentioned holiness. She said, oh, we believe in holiness. And I said, okay. I said, well, what is that? And I wasn't being difficult. I just wanted to know what she meant by holiness. She said, well, the women don't cut their hair and we wear long skirts. I thought, that's holiness? Now that's one of the evidences, but that's sure not the root. So we went and visited their congregation, and you know what we heard preached? Exactly what she had told us, what holiness was. And it was fine what they said, but I thought, Lord, help us. See, it's easier to talk about other people than ourselves, right? We all nod when we talk about others, but what about us? See, holiness, you young people, you sisters, holiness is not saying, well, we don't go to the movies and we wear long skirts and we have long hair, so we're holy. You know, the carnal, sinful person can wear a long skirt and have long hair and not go to the movies. You don't have to be saved to do those things. But the difference is in the motivation. The difference is, Lord, I want to follow you. And I want to be And I want to, the closer I get to the Lord, the more I receive of His blessings and His grace in my life. And so then when I read in the Scripture, and this applies to brethren too, I think the men and boys are starting to get worse than the ladies sometimes on things like this. I'm just fair as fair. They start to worry so much about their clothes and their hair. Lord, have mercy. We want to live in such a way in simplicity and in godliness, not because we're trying to conform to the world or because I'm trying to meet their expectations, but Lord, what do you want me to do? Can we not lay down our opinions, ideas, and our preferences and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you don't have to please me, but folks, when the Word of God addresses something, that we do that because of love. Holiness is a condition of heart. That it comes on the outside. Though that is a fruit of holiness, but it also has to do with the spirit that we have. It has to do with the love that we have. It has to do with our ability to love those that don't treat us right. It has to do with humbling our heart, even when we're right. Or think we are. It has to do with all our whole being. The Lord, I want to be sacred and set apart for you to use me like you want me to. That's what it means to follow the Lord. So what group are you following? What religious philosophy are you following? No, I want to follow Jesus because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are some that say, well, we shouldn't preach doctrine. It's doctrine that divides people. How often have you all heard that? You start visiting around very many people, some of them quote-unquote holiness people and whatnot, you find this philosophy is it's doctrine that divides people, so let's just preach Jesus. You know what? If we just preach Jesus, we're going to make it to heaven because Jesus is the truth. And this is the divinely inspired Word of God. So when someone says, well, we're not going to teach over here in Peter and Timothy because that seems to divide people, folks, Christ said, I came to bring division. He came to bring unity, but He also brought division. If I refuse to teach the whole Word of God, I am not just rejecting a doctrine, I am rejecting Christ Himself. He was the one that gave the authority to the disciples. There is no book of Michael in this New Testament. It's a closed canon. In other words, my ideas and opinions are not going to save you, so don't follow me except as I follow Christ. But to accept doctrine, doctrinal teaching, I live this way because this is what the Bible says here. We do that because we are following Christ. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the personification of the Word of God. He set the example that we should follow in His steps. Amen? So then the reason why we do what we do is not because of guidelines and rules, but I'm not going to throw the rules of the New Testament out. I'm not going to throw the doctrines out. And if there's division over it, Lord, help me to speak the truth in love and in humility, but stand in truth because that truth is Christ. So what people mean then when they say just preach Christ, many times what they're meaning is, let's not preach other doctrine. Let's preach the man Jesus. Let's preach what He does, but let's not preach what's required of us. If we follow Jesus because we love Him, there are some things that we're going to have to do. Jesus told the young rich ruler, He said, if you want to come after me, you will be perfect. He said, go and do what? Sell all that you have. It was an issue of the heart. It wasn't an issue of money. It was an issue of where his heart was. So that's what should motivate us this afternoon. So what are we following after? Let's walk in love as dear children. Another scripture in 3 John chapter 1 verse 11 said, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. You know, in our daily decisions, you know it's good just to stop and ask yourself, is this good? Do you think that would take care of a lot of controversies? Well, it's not sin. It's not sin if I do that. Okay, let's just take a step back. Is it good? Is it good for us? Well, I believe that we can trust the Holy Spirit today. Is it good for you? Don't follow that which is evil. I'm going to go a step further. Don't follow that which leads to evil. Because what you follow, there is a destination. And when you begin to make compromises, if we begin to make compromises in our life, it's taking us somewhere. There's a destination. And I've heard a lot of people say, it's not sin, so I can do it. And do you know what? Maybe you can do it for a while and hold on to your salvation. But if you listen to those that are older, you young people, when you hear your, maybe me and your mom and dad, and you hear other people saying, you know what, it's going to take you down the wrong road, we're not pulling that out of thin air. It's because we have seen it so many times that people started with some things that maybe it wasn't sin, maybe it was lawful, but it wasn't expedient, but it didn't end there. It took them down a road that ended up, they ended up losing their soul, and it started with something that was lawful, but it wasn't just real expedient. So that means we need to start taking, again, responsibility in our own life as we desire to follow the Lord. Is this thing good for me? Where will this take me? If I go down that road, what is the end destination? And is this a way that I can tell others, say, you follow my example? My grandfather told his boys, he said, boys, if you see me do it, he said, it's okay for you to do. What kind, and I'm not picking on anybody, this is just a general thought I've had different times. But if everybody in the congregation did everything that you did, what kind of church would we have? So then we need to examine our own lives like that. Is this really good? Is it profitable? Is this going to lead those that are coming behind us? Is this going to lead them in the path of righteousness that will bring them in a closer relationship as they follow the Lord? So he said, don't follow not that which is evil. Young people, the world, there is an agenda to the philosophies of the world. And it is amazing how our media has been inundated with a philosophy that is so contrary to a life of holiness. That it's tearing down the walls between men and women. It's tearing down walls between, that belongs in marriage. The unity of marriage, it's tearing that down. It's tearing down the genders. It's tearing down the carefulness of possessing your vessel. Possess your vessel in holiness. But the world is about doing what feels good for the moment. Do what makes you relax, and there's the consequence. Folks, you can go out and find the consequences of the things that our world is legalizing. What the world legalizes or doesn't legalize does not change God's Word. Just like divorce and remarriage. It's plain in the Scripture. If you have a wife and marry another, he said, you commit adultery. And whoever marries her that is put away, he commits adultery also. It's plain. It doesn't matter whether it's legal or not. It doesn't matter if the world now says two men can get married and it's legal. That doesn't change God's Word. It doesn't matter if the world said it's legal to go get drunk, and now it's legal to go smoke marijuana. The Word of God says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, keep your mind clear and allow yourself to be in a state that the Spirit of God can be the one influencing you and moving you, that you might follow Jesus day by day. Amen. I didn't know we were going to get into all of that. But the Lord knows, as we stay close to the Lord, folks, it'll take us down a good road, but follow not that which is evil. There's more to come. I'm going to take my own counsel. It's better to leave. I hope y'all are still wanting a little bit more. It's better to leave your neighbor's house an hour too early than 5 minutes too late. So, Lord willing, if He spares time, the Word of God's still going to be here when we come back together. We'll pick this up, Lord willing, next Sunday.